Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. I am your host as ever, Louis McCaffrey, and this week I am joined by Christopher Somani.
Louis, hello, how are you?
First and foremost, I know you like me to introduce you first because you're my lieutenant, my right-hand man.
Get it right every time.
That's it. How are you doing, Somani? All right?
I no bad. Long weekend there. Spent it doing nothing, but, you know, it was relaxing.
Good on you. Sometimes it's good to relax. You deserve it. I'm also joined by Aaron Connolly, who is by far the greatest new recruit in the Cynic.
The only new recruits? I'm not sure if that's a compliment.
Only and best.
Thank you. I'm well. How are you?
Aye, good. Thanks for asking. Yeah, we're going to be playing fives together next week. The other two here shat it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Nah, always love a game of fives. Prefer it to 11-a-side these days. So I think my 11-a-side career is winding down.
Aaron, are you not quite good at football, and you're going to rip the push out of this wee diddy?
Nah, I think we overstate my footballing abilities. I'm average at best, I would say.
Who do you play for right now?
St. Rocks, yes.
So that's a pretty high standard, to be fair.
I play for St. Paper. There you go. Paper beats rocks every time. Christopher Gallagher, how are you?
That wasn't actually too bad, I'll be honest. It was
it was pretty good, I thought. And that was off the cuff as well. But anyway, how are you? How's your beard?
I'm not too bad. I'm doing okay. Wearing my Time to Tackle t-shirt, which I got from Aaron. They do great stuff. I'm good. I am in the midst of a house move that keeps getting moved date to date, so hopefully I'll be moved by this time next week. But yeah, good. Stressed, but ready to rock.
Well, unlike you, let's move on. We're going to start with a wee look back at the Riga game last week. You know, obviously we're kind of, our podcasts are right in between games. Just the nature of things just now, luckily we're getting through the rounds in the Europa League. So we've got Riga to recap and then the game on Thursday to look forward to. The Riga game first, 1-0 winners. I've seen this kind of described in a couple of different ways. The game was rubbish, performance was rubbish, very poor, you know, no creativity again. Or on the flip side, some people have said actually it was away from home, it was a professional performance, got the job done. It's never easy going away from home in Europe, and we won, and that's all that matters. Where does everybody fall in that? Do you think it was poor, as a, you know, or are we being maybe a wee bit too negative as we've been recently?
I think the Hibs game has maybe softened our attitude to it, and I know we'll come and talk about the Hibs game after it. Right after that game, though, I was pretty pissed off with the level of performance we put in. It was flat, uninventive, pretty turgid. We had a lot of the ball, but we really didn't, you know, we didn't look incisive. We didn't look sharp. We didn't look like we were creating much. I remember thinking at the end, I don't know what would be worse, going out now, having to sit and watch another half an hour of this in extra time. It really was poor. It is about getting through, but it's you want to see a bit more than that, especially against that calibre of opposition. Now, I know they could be tired, they could be defensive and dogged, and it could be hard for us to break down, you know, sides like this. They had a good home European record. I think they beat Copenhagen 1-0 there last year. Obviously, they then put us out. So it's not like that this was a dreadful, dreadful, dreadful side, but they never really showed anything in an attacking sense against us, and we were just toothless, if I'm being perfectly honest. Obviously, to get the last-minute goal was a huge relief, but I would be expecting more from us against Sarajevo this week, because that was a difficult watch, if I'm being honest.
Chris?
Completely. Great summary by Somani. I mean, what I would say is, you know, the result was never in doubt. I didn't think we were ever going to lose the game against Riga. But it just seemed like more of the same for the last cup since, you know, the start of the season, really. A bit laboured. no one really taking the game by the scruff of the neck. And so I think it was more frustration. I think Chris is right, though. I think the Hibs game gives the Riga game a completely different, you know, perception. There's a completely different gleam on it, if you will. I think if the Hibs game hadn't went as well as it had, then we would have been looking back on the Riga game with a lot more sort of condemnation. But we got the result, and I'm happy with that. It's great to see Moy Iliunisi, you know, come off the bench and do some nice things. But overall, disappointed. And to be honest, this is something we'll probably touch on later, but it was just really boring to watch. I mean, and that's the other thing, because the result was never really in doubt, and because Riga really didn't have a lot, it was just very rarely did I describe a Celtic game as boring, but it kind of was.
It was boring. I think that's probably, you know, I'm going to come on to it later on with a Hibs game, but I feel as if I find myself being quite bored watching Celtic quite a lot recently, and it, you know, it's improved a wee bit at the weekend, but the game against Riga, there's an element, I think, you know, to a certain extent, maybe Neil Lennon's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. Like, this qualification for any tournament, whether it's the Champions League or Europa League, it's all about results. It's only the results really that matter. He's getting the results right now for the Europa League. And if we get into the Europa League proper, that's what we'll be judged on. That's what we'll look back on. We won't necessarily look back at the games that we came through in qualification. We'll look at how did we do in the group stages. If it's going to be a wee bit turgid, if we're going to maybe be a bit bored at times, but we pick up the results and get into the group stage and then maybe try and impress, then maybe take it up a gear performance-wise, I think we'll probably look back and be quite happy with that.
I think you're probably right, and I'd probably echo what everyone said. I think there was a lot of focus put before the game on just get through here, and then I think we probably forgot that over the course of the game, and we started focusing a little bit on how poor the performance was, because it was fucking turgid. But I think it coming out of the back of what was three domestic games in a week where we probably didn't perform well but got 9 points, we then go away and we, albeit, yes, we scrape a win, but we get a win. I think what we're seeing this season is everyone is getting a little bit all over the place and emotions are riding high, and reflecting on it, you know, almost a week later, we're through to the next round. We've got a favourable tie now on Thursday, and we've won every domestic game in a short space of time as well. The performance on Sunday, as Manny's rightly said, is probably taking a bit of the difficulty out of the Riga game. You've forgotten about it a little bit because we've seen that lifting performance which we've all been crying out for.
Yeah, completely agree. Sorry, can I just say that there was some there was some sort of disappointing performances though regarding personnel against Riga, and I think that was, you know, Edouard really wasn't on his game against Riga. Guys like Ayer weren't necessarily doing what they normally do. That Ayer wasn't really breaking forward and breaking lines and stuff, and that's been a big key part of our play this season specifically. So that's where I came up away from the game thinking to myself, we've won the game, that's fine, forget about it. However, there was a few wee warning signs in my head where I'm like, Eddie's not really kicking on right now. And that's the main worry. And thankfully, I think those have been answered, even if it's only just one game. But yeah, sorry, Louis.
No. The other thing I was wanting to touch on was Neil Lennon. I think, you know, well, actually, Neil Lennon and Scott Brown. Scott Brown's a... He was pretty much anonymous. He was more or less getting in the way during the Riga game because of the fact that we were kind of so dominant in their half and we had a back three and everything. He was kind of redundant. But he obviously goes on to the Hibs game and has a positive game. So we'll maybe come back and really touch on him later. But in terms of Neil Lennon's comments, I mean, everybody in the group chat was saying, you know, this game's been rubbish, it's been terrible, we've been lucky by the Moy goal at the end to take us through. And then Neil Lennon, of course, comes out after the game and says he thought we were brilliant and all these superlatives for the performance. Is anybody else, you know, I know Alan's a big advocate of just don't listen to him because he's just doing it for the media. You can't listen to anything he says. But I disagree with that. I think, you know, we can only go on what we hear. And that pisses me off at the end of a game when it has been so rubbish that I've got to listen to the manager tell me something completely different that my eyes saw, you know? Is that, do you think Lennon's right to do that? Or should he be a wee bit more honest?
I think I agree with you, but I also agree with Alan. When Lennon comes out and says something, you don't know what you're going to get, because a lot of the time it just seems to be the first thing that enters his head. But I expect something different. I expect him to come out and tell us what we see there. I expect him to say that, at the very least, that's not the level that we should be performing at. We've got the result. You know, we did X, Y, or Z. He's obviously not going to be as reactive as we are, because quite clearly we are extremely reactive. But you want to make him out and at least acknowledge that's not a level that we should be at. But quite quickly, as Alan says, you realise that Lennon's just all over the place in these press conferences. So I don't put too much stock in it. But see, when I'm thinking, I bet he comes out and says, well, we're good after this, that's annoying me. That's irking me, because I know it's going to happen and I know it's not true. But I think it just is what it is. There's only so many times he can do what he done after Ferencváros. You know, he's done it once. He could maybe use that one more time if he's lucky this season. So he probably has to watch what he's saying, where he's going and things like that. But it is a bit insulting when you're told that we were excellent because we weren't, and that's the bottom line.
I think the most frustrating thing is you almost know what he's going to say when you see a performance like that. And I think in the group chat, actually, there was a bit of chat around let's play bingo and what's Lennon's lines going to be. And it's because you know what he's going to feed you. And it does become frustrating, especially as a fan. You want to hear some sort of level of honesty. All right, we know that, as you said, Samani, we can be a bit reactive and we can be a bit hypercritical and we can get very emotional. And I don't expect that from a manager. But I expect at least not to be insulted and to be told that that was a good performance, because it absolutely wasn't. And I don't think he's even protecting the players. The players know that's not good enough. He knows it's not good enough. So let's just say that as it is.
Yeah, I think you start to get into Gordon Strachan territory, and that to me is murky waters. And Barry Gallagher will back me up on that. Because, you know, I remember there was so many games we'd watch under Strachan, and you know, you'd eke out a 1-0 win away at Dens Park, and Strachan would come out and say, what a terrific advert for Scottish football, that's football at its finest. And I remember, you know, watching it in the pub and just thinking, this is god awful. And we got the result, and you know, a lot of the time the result is all that matters, but at the same time, come on. Like, when you start eking into that Strachan territory, I start to get frustrated, because you're no far away from devil dogs and fucking Kestrel drinkers, do you know what I mean?
This week, obviously, on Thursday, we're playing Sarajevo in the next round. They are currently top of their domestic league. They've played 8 games in the league so far. They're in first position with 20 points. They've scored 18 goals in their 8 games so far. I wouldn't imagine, and I apologise if I'm wrong, but I wouldn't imagine anybody has a great deal of insight on them, although I'm sure there will be a preview podcast appearing on the cynic.co this week. That should be dropping Thursday, Chris, Thursday morning.
That'll be dropping, I think that's dropping tomorrow. There's also a team talk, so Stephen Russell and Christian Wolfe. Stephen's been watching for the last week, he's been watching Sarajevo, and he's going to break down exactly how they're going to play. The team talks have been really something that's been fantastic. So if you want to hear how they're going to play, how they're going to set up, and how we can beat them, that's dropping tomorrow. And also the preview will be dropping tomorrow evening as well, just for coverage.
It's going to break it down like DJ Narration XG. There you go.
You're on fire. Keep going. Love it. Love it.
Call me the hitmaker. Anyway, Sarajevo, how are we feeling? Are you demanding a performance? Are you expecting a performance, or would you be happy with the Riga result and performance if it just gets us through?
You take that just now. You just want to get in the Europa League now, despite the fact that the Europa League's the poor cousin of the Champions League. The point being is, in terms of keeping players and keeping players happy and attracting players to us and stuff like that, you need to be at least making the group stages of the Europa League as a bare minimum. So it's important for the club to get there. And right now, you'd be like, just get us there in any way possible. I am expecting a better performance, though. I don't think there's any excuses, even though we're away from home. Because if you had said, we have 2 games to get through to the group stages, and it was the champions of Latvia and Bosnia. Sorry, forgot what country Sarajevo was in for a second. The bottom line here is Latvia and Bosnian champions. If you can beat them to go through into the group stages, you would have taken that at the start. I expect a better performance from us on Thursday. Although, if you said to me now, you're not getting one, but you'll get a 1-0 win again, I'd take it right away. But at the same time, there's only so often that you can turn in performances like that and expect to do anything in the group stages. So it's almost like we need to kind of prove our spurs a bit, because if we play like we did against Riga in the actual group stages, we're not going very far.
I think I'm probably approaching Thursday with the correct amount of trepidation, understanding what's at stake in a one-off tie. I think I jokingly said last week when I was on one of the podcasts, the preview, I think, that we would go out in the playoff stage. I mean, I was probably half joking, but having seen the Riga game, I'm still unsure. I would absolutely take a 1-0 right now to go through. But I think, you know, we had a lot of fun in Europa League group stage last year with some really good performances. So now it's just got to be about getting us there again, and whatever that takes. I'm not overly fussed about performance on Thursday. I might not even watch the game, so I don't get stressed out about it. And just hope that by the end of 90 minutes or 120 or whatever it takes, that Celtic are in the group stages. And then I've got a feeling, and we'll probably touch on it later, but I've got a feeling we'll start to see Celtic settle into the season a little bit. If we can get to the group stages, if we can get through the St Johnstone game, and then, you know, the transfer window closes, I think we'll probably see Celtic start to settle down a little bit.
Yeah, I've just been speaking to, I've just messaged Stephen. He's doing his, as I say, for the Scouting Report, and he's just said it's going to be another long night. The way they play football is pretty much not that far off Riga. But he also kind of says that there's their left-hand side, they prefer attacking down their right. So Taylor, if Taylor plays, is going to be kind of the one. Taylor needs to have a good game. But from what I'm reading from Stephen, he's quite confident like that Celtic should have enough. But I don't think, from what he's saying in his report, is that essentially it's going to be another tough night. So I think Sermani's right. I think Aaron's right as well. We just need to win. Like, I'm not really that. This is a performance. I feel like I've got my kind of, I've got my value out of the Hibs game. We're going away from home in a Europa League playoff. Just fucking win. And that, honestly, that's all we need.
I genuinely think we need to set a wee bit of a marker for the group stages. I genuinely do. I think we're getting too far into the season now where we've played enough games that we need to show a wee bit more here. Because, and that doesn't mean that we blow them out the water or anything like that, because I'm not dismissing it as being like just as an easy game or a walkover. But Riga was really, really bad. Really, really bad. And I think if we don't improve in that, despite the fact, you know the league form has been good in terms of the wins we've had, not so much a lot of the performances. But if we go in off that, you'll be looking at the group, the draw, and thinking, Jesus, I hope we don't get them. I hope we don't get them. And it'll weigh heavy on us. It'll weigh heavy on me, certainly. I think other people will think like that. I think we need to show a wee bit more of Hibs on Thursday. Otherwise, you'll just be looking at the draw and thinking, Christ, what's coming our way?
We did play them last year, and we beat them home and away. The last game, the lineup was Bain, Simunovic, Beaton, Bowling, Goalie, Brown, Morgan, Christie, McGregor, Forrest, and Edward. So, you know, there's players in there that, you know, that have been mainstays of the team for years. They've even played against this side. You would hope we would have enough to carry us on. Whether we get the performance or not is another question. But, you know, I would like to be impressed. I would like to be kind of wowed a bit, and certainly not bowled to death. But for me personally, I think I'm just more anxious to get through it and get into the group stage.
I just feel like I want to challenge it. But Samani, is it enough to say that the performance in the group stage last season is enough of a marker?
Last season, Aaron.
I know. No, I'm absolutely aware of that. But in terms of, you know, after everything that's happened, after all of the COVID shutdown, everything like that, is Lennon perhaps, Has he done enough in European group stages over the course that perhaps it's just about getting through, and then we see where it goes from there?
You might be right.
Deliberately facetious here.
No, no, and that's fine. That's what we like. We like a bit of challenge on this podcast. But I'm speaking from the perspective of your average Celtic fan, and it's all about this season. Last season isn't really going to have an effect, in my opinion, on, put it this way, whatever we do this season, people won't look back and go, ah, but last season we did this or we did that. Now, I think maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking if we had a bad performance on Thursday and we got in, there's every chance that we've stepped up to the mark before, that we might step up to the mark this time. I concede that might very well be the case. But from the perspective of looking at it and from the perspective of thinking, what are we possibly going to do this season, I'd much rather we put in a more palatable performance when I'm looking at that draw. Because if I get another Riga on Thursday, personally speaking, I'm shitting myself about that group stage. Because what we did last season was great at points, but see at other points, it wasn't. And I would, and it's about, I don't think necessarily this team's continued from where it was last season, and that's the problem I've got.
I agree with you in all honesty, but also when we got the group stage draw last season, did most of us not shite ourselves at the same time? When we were looking at Rennes and how they'd performed, I mean, look at Lazio and how they were doing, were we not? Is this not just the course that we go through every year?
Possibly. You might be right. Sorry, I know you want to come in, Gil, but I'll be in a sec. But I think you're right. But again, this isn't the way that we look at the group stages as Celtic fans, generally speaking. And we've had easier groups and not made it through in the past in terms of where we've been in Europe. So what we did last season, personally speaking, I don't think we'll have a bearing on it. If we get a hard group, I'm not going to say that we'll get no chance, but I'd like to see a bit more from us to give us a wee bit more confidence going into that. But we'll see, you know. As I said at the start of this, we are a reactive bunch, and that's the way it's always going to be.
The thing I would say with what you guys are talking about regarding the game against Sarajevo is that we've had so many, many false dawns this season. Second half against Ross County, that's us kicking on. Then the game after that, where we thought Celtic were really going to kind of we want Hibs to be us kicking in. So we want that to be the sort of clunk click and here we go and we're going to start playing football, and it's almost like the Hibs game was the start of the season and everyone's clicked into place. So I get what Sormani's saying. I will be honest, I just want us to win. So if we are honking on Thursday and we win 1-0, of course I will be disappointed, but we're through. However, in the overreaching kind of arc of the season, it will just be another time where we thought we'd kicked on with the Hibs game and we've kind of came crashing down. So I do get your point, Sormani, that if we in isolation performances are fine, but if you can't string performances together, now we're stringing wins together, which is the most important thing just now, but we need to start stringing performances together, because if we don't, it's going to start affecting the players, it's going to start affecting the fans, and eventually something's going to come to a head.
I think you've maybe hit it there. Sorry, Lloyd, just very quickly, mate. Consistency is the key here. See the Celtic team that played Lazio home and away? They would have batted Copenhagen aside, and we didn't. And that's the point I'm making here. Well, it's not the point, but it's the point I'm jumping on. It's the bandwagon I'm going on right now. It's consistency. It's if we can start showing consistency, if we can start showing European-level performances over the course instead of these highs and lows, that's going to stand us in far better stead. And I think we need to start that on Thursday. That's my feeling on it.
I just think, I totally agree with you. Listen, I would love to go and see I want to see a performance Thursday. I would love it. But I just think, especially with it being a one-off game, the pressure that we're going to be under, the pressure that we're usually under at this stage of the season, the amount of games, I would take anything just to go through and then afford them the opportunity that when it gets into, you have six games in a group and you can plan it, it's just that little bit easier then to see performances and more fluidity and it come together that little bit better. And I just think that the performances last season are probably, for me, is enough of a marker to say, let's just get through Thursday and then give them an opportunity to go into the group stages and say, let's not go with too much trepidation, because it just feels like we go over this cycle every season. Let's just get through it. It's pretty much what I'm trying to say.
In terms of performances, we arguably had one of our best performances, if not the best performance of the season so far at the weekend against Hibs. We ran out 3-0 winners. I'll be honest with you, I think I have been affected by how the kind of start to the season has been. I am just not, my default position right now is negative, and I was even negative for quite a lot of that first half. I was bored watching the first half, to be honest, and even though there was obviously positive aspects to it, it wasn't until the second half where I really started to enjoy myself. And I know everybody says in the group chat, you know, try and enjoy yourself. That's what I really need to do now, is try and enjoy myself and stop being so negative. But I don't think it's just because of me. I think it's a consequence of the way the team's been playing recently and the way it's been set up and the changes that Lennon's made, and it kind of baffles you at times. And then has, you know, the comments he makes after the games. I've ended up getting myself in a bit of a rut. But let's try and be positive. That performance, certainly, especially second half, especially the likes of Frimpong, especially the likes of Turnbull, there was a hell of a lot of performances to see there. And as Gal says, hopefully that's us going to kick on. This is it now. This is us going to get into the swing of things. And we need to, with the games that are coming up. Far and away the best performance. Does it beat the? Is it a better performance than even the Hamilton game, the first game of the season?
I thought it was just terrific. Just really terrific. And one thing I'll say, I really enjoyed it. Now, that sounds ridiculous because I'm a Celtic fan and, you know, I don't miss a minute of Celtic playing football and, you know, you enjoy every game. But I really enjoyed just watching Celtic playing good football against a good team, and just especially that second half, those guys were enjoying themselves. They were expressing themselves in a way they've not done it all season. I want to put in context, you know, Hibs are good. Hibs are a really good team. They've got some really good individuals. They're not the finished article. They're baking away, and I think something will kind of come out of the oven in a season or two. And I do think that if Jack Ross keeps that squad together and adds one or two players, they'll look a good team down the road. So what that does for me is that elevates the actual result and performance, because they came at us. They didn't press us as much as I thought they would, to be fair, but they still tried to play football against us. And if you try to play football against Celtic, specifically domestically, we will dominate you. Dominate you.
We'll mess you up. We'll mess you right up.
Gal's basically summed it up. We benefited from this. This is the first team I think we've probably played this season. We wanted to come and play football against us, and we really benefited from that. I thought Hibs were good. I thought they were dangerous on the break. Duffy, actually, a couple of times, the one where Nisbet muscled him off the ball, and then the one where the ball came down the right-hand side and Duffy kind of misjudged it. I thought that they were kind of, I don't know why you're holding a packet of crisps up to the screen, Lloyd, but I think Duffy's obviously a good player, you know, and he's settled in, he's got two goals, and we know what he can bring. But I think the fact that he's still settling in, obviously, but I think the fact Hibs were able to exploit a defender of his level, the space, though, it was really, really open in the first half. And I think what you're saying, you only enjoyed it in the second half, is the reason I think for that is I only really properly started to enjoy it when I thought we were in control and we're going to win. I think it was so open in the first half, there was a nervousness about it, because they're attacking players, guys like Nisbet, you know.
Boyle was great.
Boyle was quite clever. He never actually got to use his pace as much, you know, just the way it was set up, but he's certainly a clever player. But Nisbet's the one that really impressed me. He doesn't strike me as the sort of guy who's going to be a really, really top-level finisher, if you know what I mean, but he's all round game, and you know, his strength and the way that he upsets the defenders, I think that, you know, he's going to be a nuisance for a lot of teams this season. And I think that's what I think that's what benefited us. It was really open. They were coming at us. They had a goal, but that gave us the space to go back and to kind of show the level we're at. So that's what was enjoyable about it. We had an open game of football against a side who aren't bad. And on another day, maybe they could have got one or two goals and it would have been a difficult afternoon for us. The fact of the matter is that we eventually comfortably beat what I would say is probably quite clearly the third best team in the SPFL. That's what was so satisfying about it for me.
Yep. I mean, I've only seen extended highlights of the game because unfortunately I couldn't watch it on Sunday, but I haven't seen what I have. It just looked like Celtic were far more fluid, there was far more enjoyment, the players just looked more at ease, and I think a lot of that probably, as Saman and Gal have alluded to, is because of the way Hibs set up against us. You know, they've not got into that sort of low block, they've not just tried to kill the game, they've tried to have a go, I think they had a couple of chances early on. The Nisbet one, I think he's excellent, by the way. I watched a lot of the Friday night football in the Championship last year out of boredom and Fridays, and every time I seen Dunfermline last year, I thought he was first class. I actually think he's probably a better player than Shankland, and I think he's got a bit of everything. The chance he creates for himself, you know, Duffy's took a bit of stick, but it's just really good striker play where he's just got his body in the way and he sort of used Duffy's strength against him to knock him off the ball and get a shot away. But yeah, it just looked like Celtic were far more at ease, far more comfortable. They looked as though their shape was a bit better. And again, a lot of that would be down to Hibs, but maybe it has just been that we've been overcritical at times or maybe we've just, you know, we've expected too much having had the layoff and everything else, and I don't want to go over old ground, but let's just hope it's not a false dawn and we're going to see them click into gear. The unfortunate thing that we now have is that something, the national break coming up, that's probably going to slow us down a little bit again.
One thing we never mentioned about the game, the European game, was that James Forrest got injured and had to go off relatively early on, and Jeremy Frimpong came in and played very, very well. And then he started and put in, again, another fantastic performance at the weekend. Easily man of the match, just looked a cut above going forward. You know, maybe he didn't have too much to do defensively, but, you know, when he was called upon, more or less he'd done pretty well. But it's his attacking, what he brings in an attacking sense. You know, it's easy to forget how much we relied on Frimpong. You know, when he was injured and he went out of the team, you really noticed the difference because we relied on him heavily down that right-hand side. Him coming back in, playing so well against Hibs, you know, the discussion about 3-5-2 and what players fit in, you know, Forrest being obviously a Lennon favourite, you know, we would probably assume that Forrest probably would have still been picked ahead of Frimpong in that position despite the performances. But the fact that he's injured now, Frimpong coming back in there, this is surely Lennon can see that Frimpong has to start. He brings so much more than actually probably most of the players.
I would say you mentioned about his defending and how maybe we didn't see it as much against Hibs. There was one incident where Ayer goes to cover, I think it's Nesbitt or maybe Boyle, and Ayer's kind of on the wrong side, and Frimpong comes in and does a slide tackle and tackles the player, takes a sore one, but his reading of the game for that was fantastic. Just really, you know, we'd never really put his kind of defending on any sort of pedestal, because essentially any break ball, he's probably going to beat whoever he's with on a foot race. So, you know, is that defending? Not specifically. But what I would say about Frimpong is he is, in my opinion, the most exciting player we have. Now, I want to watch him play football. One small criticism, because it's good to have a balance, is that his final ball needs to be better. Because once his final ball is better, he's going to be next level. I mean, he gets so far ahead of the fullback against Doig on Saturday or Sunday. He gets so in behind him so many times, and I think he only produced maybe one, possibly two good balls out of maybe five or six. This isn't a criticism of Frimpong because he's still young and he's still developing. What I'm saying is, when that happens, boy oh boy, what a player.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I'd thought as well, that I think his final ball, you know, it's not like there's not a precedent where he's been able to pick players out in the box. So I think he's got that.
Yeah.
I just think that's something that he can work on. I think it's something that will get better. What I found quite impressive though was obviously Doig and Toast, right? And Ross took him off, which I think
had to be off at half time. He got roasted that bad.
I think that was quite good management from Ross in terms of let's not reduce this guy's confidence any more than it needs to be. And he brought Stevenson on, who is more experienced than Doig. A couple of times he was able to use that experience to kind of nullify him. But see, at other times, there was just nothing.
No stopping him.
And he's got that level of pace and that level of ability that really top quality fullbacks are sometimes literally not going to be able to do anything about Frimpong. The thing is, we've all talked about how good a player he is and you know what his ceiling is, but people aren't talking about him as our top player or as, is he going to go or anything like that? I think that might quickly change. People are talking about how can we hold on to guys like Edward and Jam, and rightly so, because they're clearly top class. He's up there with them, and he's only going to get better. And it's going to be a privilege to watch him at Celtic for as long as we can keep him, because you're right. See if he can nail that final ball. He is a top, top level right back, and he's just a joy to watch just now.
He is, he's absolutely electrifying, and it's the only word I can think of to describe him. And he goes back the park just as quick as he goes forward, and I think that's a really big thing in terms of playing, especially in that wing back role. You know, he's willing to do the work back the way he reminds me a lot, although he's a better player, but Agat, you know, that sort of electrifying speed where he's never going to get caught out going either way. If someone does get beyond him, you know, you never feel like he's going to get caught out. You feel like he's always got the pace to recover. So defensively, he feels sound. And going forward, he's just brilliant to watch. You know, he wants the ball. He loves to pick up the ball deeper and take people on. And I just love watching players like that. You know, you look at Taylor on the other side who's trying to get him behind to get onto the ball. But Frimpong wants it. He's got the balls to fucking take the ball and just say, well, it doesn't matter if there's two men coming over. I'm going to take both of you on. I'm going to beat both of you. And like you say, his final ball probably needs work. But that can come. You know, you kind of give a player the pace and the charisma and all the personality, you know, that Frimpong's got. You know, that's all natural. But you can teach him how to cross a ball better. And I think that just makes his ceiling so, so high.
Just on Duffy, you know, everyone's labelling him, you know, he's an English Premier League player, so he should be fine. He should just come in here and he should be the best player in the league. And how dare he not be very good? Duffy's fine. He's absolutely fine. If you play with three centre-halves that are playing essentially so far forward, they're almost at the halfway line, it takes time to understand how to play that position. He rarely plays in a back three. He also he's never played in a team where you have to win every week. He's been playing for your Brightons and your Blackburns where a point's great. Duffy's fine. Duffy will be fine. He'll just take a little bit of getting used to get off his back.
Duffy's a captain of our ship. I've got a question from Stephen Craig here, which is... it's a great question because it's the point I wanted to move on to. He says, is Beaton the centre half we need / self? As he's not put a foot wrong. You know, I thought the game of the weekend, I thought he was arguably our best centre half. I think Duffy looked ropey at times. I thought Ayer looked ropey at times. Beaton, I thought, looked very good. He put in was it the Hibs game that he put in the really strong tackle in the opening few minutes? Went to ground but won the ball, and it was a great hard tackle. Beaton, I've been pretty impressed with. I think, you know, I don't think Beaton is a bad option. As long as you're not asking too much of him.
Every single year at this time, when the season's just kicked off, we always have this exact discussion. And then there'll be a game or two where Beaton won't play. He'll be exposed, whether it be in Europe or whether it be a bigger game. And then we'll go, shit, we need another centre-half. Because Beaton's great, and we all love
him. You're too negative.
I genuinely do love Beaton. I think he's fantastic. And I think, do you know what? See if you want to have him.
Doesn't sound like it.
To bring him in. No, but we literally have this discussion. I could go back and get a clip and edit it in of us having this discussion last year and the year before. Beaton is great cover. He is. But Beaton is not going to be a midfield... Well, he is a midfielder. He's not going to be a centre-half that you can rely on to play at the highest level. And I'm talking about Europa League games. Can he play in Scotland? Yeah, that's fine. But the problem is, he's too injury-prone. He's already been injured twice this season. He was out for a year not too long ago. I think the guy's got a lot of qualities. I'm very happy for him to be the fifth centre-half choice. Absolutely. But there's going to come a time this season where he's going to make a huge error or he's going to get injured. And then these questions will just raise again.
Can I bring one player up that we've not seen a lot of, but I'm very intrigued to hear what your initial thoughts of him, if I said that right. David Tumble came on at half-time. I thought he took his upper gear. I thought he looked fantastic. There's some kind of not much transfer news today, but one of the things this morning that came out was about Ncham possibly, West Brom and Southampton possibly coming in for him this week and putting in a bid. I'm not saying that they're like-for-like players, but in a midfield three where you've not got, you can only choose from three. McGregor's definitely going to be one at least, so you've got two places there. Turnbull, I thought, was very good. Does that make you think, would that lessen the pain a wee bit of Ncham leaving, the fact that Turnbull looks so good and he's showing so much promise? What was your opinion of him in the game?
As I said, I didn't see much of the game, but I've seen a lot of Turnbull over the course of time. I was delighted when Celtic went and got the deal done. Obviously, he's come over the injury and stuff. I think he's first class. I really do think he's first class. I think he's destined to be a really, really, really good player for Celtic. I'm not so sure that I would be that he would soften the blow in of Ncham leaving. And I think that's just a personal point of view. I love Ncham. Every time he plays for Celtic, I'm tweeting about how good he is. I think he's so underrated in terms of the way that he moves the ball, the way that he just controls games. I don't think people really see it and really see how good he actually is. But I'm delighted that Tumble's in. I think in terms of the amount of games we're going to have, it's great to have so many options. I think it's great, Louis, that you think that there's two midfield places available, but in reality there's only one because it's McGregor, Brown and another. So obviously I think we're top heavy there, I'll be honest. I think you look at Christie and Cham, Tumble, I think one of them will probably go. Not Tumble, obviously, but Rogic as well. I think someone will probably go. Personally, it's not Ncham.
If you were to say, look, one player can go from the midfield, I would pick Christie over Ncham, personally speaking. I agree with you, Aaron. I think that Ncham's qualities are overlooked by a lot of the Celtic support. I think he's a top-class football player. Some people talk about, his consistency and things like that, but I've kind of regularly said on here, I think he's held to higher standards than other midfielders. Turnbull in the mix, though, I've got a feeling that Turnbull could be maybe not a first pick, but a regular pick before the end of the season, because he's a very, very intelligent football player. He's more intelligent than I thought, to be perfectly honest. I did see him at Motherwell. I seen a fair bit of him, but obviously he was out injured, and you got, when he first broke through, I mean, people forget how few games he actually played for Motherwell before his injury. He didn't play a huge amount of football for Motherwell, and then he came back. So I have seen some of him, but it's only when I seen him, like in the few appearances he's made for us, how intelligent he is. He always wants the ball. He always, the angles he makes in order for his teammates to pass them seem really intelligent, and he's not prepared. He is prepared to take a risk in terms of the pass that he makes. Something that Luke O'Connell did that, and I know it was a mid-preseason friendly, but when you see players on the ball like that and they're not afraid to maybe take a wee risk, it's always good to see. And I can see that in Turnbull. I mean, that wee dink that he did over for Eddie was just a wee yard too heavy. That would have been a phenomenal ball through, and you would have with the banked on Edward putting that away. But for me, he looks as if he's a player who wants to make things happen. And some of our midfielders, perhaps they've not got that same level of desire to do that. And I think that's something that will be really important for us this season. So I'm very excited about him. And I think towards the end of this season, we could see David Turnbull being, if not a complete first pick, somebody who regularly starts game for us.
What I like about him is his movement. So he always moves, pass and move, pass and move, pass and move, making triangles, making options, always doing his best to give the person he's passed to an option for receiving if something else doesn't come off. He's very, very intelligent. He's got a complete, he's got a different dimension from the players we've got. What I would say though is that, you know, people have been talking about, you know, Christie and Turnbull, and obviously Turnbull came on for Christie. If you look at how they play and the sort of their style, are both very, very different. And what I would say is, when Christie, when David Turnbull had that ball and he passed to Moy for the goal, I'm not necessarily so sure that Christie wouldn't have had a shot. And I think that's maybe the difference. And that's not a criticism of Christie, because I think Christie's starting to come into form and I'm happy that he's developing well and I don't want him to leave. But I just think there's David Turnbull and Christie, I don't think it's like for like. So if Christie went, you'd have to get a replacement, because I also don't think Ncham and Turnbull are like for like. So if Ncham went, I think you'd have to get a replacement. And that's the point.
See, for me, I think, you know, when I was watching Turnbull, one thing that kind of, in terms of like comparing him to other players, I actually, in my mind, had him more like McGregor. And you know, in a way that he became a bit of a focal point. Like, he started dictating things, I felt, in a very similar way that McGregor would. And that's one thing that I'm really excited to see, is him and McGregor both together in that midfield. I think will be very interesting, because, as you say, they're both different. But I just think there's a lot to come from Turnbull. And I like the idea of him, despite his experience, despite his age, being confident enough to come in and grab a game by the scruff of the neck, because sometimes what we need, and, you know, we spoke a wee bit about Ncham there, and obviously it's been long running, this, the idea that he'll possibly be one of the ones to go. Ncham, I think everybody was calling for him to come in the team. And then since he's came into the team, I'll be honest, I've been a wee bit disappointed. I mean, don't get me wrong, he plays some lovely passes. Every game he'll have a couple of wow moments when he plays a ball and you think, no one else could play that ball. But has he really came in and stamped his authority in that midfield? Has he really come in and grabbed games by the scruff of the neck and really dictated things and dominated? I don't think he has. And I know it's, some people see it as just an easy thing to criticise him for his consistency and all that sort of thing. I just think at times people are a bit blinded by this notion of him being technically superior than everybody else. And I'm not saying that he isn't technically superior to the vast majority of players, but I still think he's got to come in and really dominate games. And I don't think he's ever really done that enough. He said purple patches, but Ncham, for me, has an abundance of potential, but he's never going to realise it with us, and he never has.
I think part of that might come from Ncham, obviously, in previous seasons. But see, if we're putting it in the bubble of this season, none of our central midfielders have done that. McGregor hasn't. You know, Brown's obviously been pretty poor for most of the season, but I don't think Ncham's been, I don't think anybody's been any better than Ncham. And I think this goes back to the point I make about some people holding them to higher standards. I think part of that
McGregor, no. Some of you don't think McGregor's been made more of a contribution than Ncham?
This season?
Yeah, this season. Absolutely.
Well, I genuinely don't think so. I'm not saying McGregor's, I don't think McGregor's been anywhere near as good as he can be this season. I genuinely think that. Now, obviously, we got the goal against Ross County and we got the goal at the weekend, proving exactly what he can do. But I think Ncham's been very good this season in patches, same as McGregor. But there's been games where McGregor has not hit the ground running. And it's about, I think that's the point. McGregor has obviously got a lot in the bank, and rightly so. People can say he's maybe not playing the way he should, right? But I think Ncham, perhaps because of where we bought him from, you know, he came from Man City, he was on loan in Serie A for a season. He's a French under-21 international. We had Dembele and Edouard, who are both kind of French under-21s as well. People have got this level where he needs to get to. And you said it yourself, he has to come in and dominate games and things like that. I think that's a bit unfair. Now, there has been some games previous seasons where Ncham has been really poor, right? We would all accept that. But I also think that people are expecting him to hit this level, whereas other midfielders don't need to hit that to get praise. And I think a lot of his good work goes under the radar. And I think sometimes we need to kind of, you know, accept that he makes contributions to this game and doesn't get the credit for it. And this season, I don't think there's been much between him and Ncham. This season alone, obviously, Ncham, McGregor's been far more important for us. But I don't think that you can say McGregor's hit the heights this season.
I think, in fairness, what you can point to with McGregor is a few moments where he really takes the game by the scruff of the neck. I'm thinking Motherwell before half-time, he goes in that run, he plays the pass to Forrest, the equaliser against Livingston, the goal at the weekend. I don't think you can say that about Ncham this season, in fairness. I think the one thing I will say about Olivier Ncham is he's never, ever gets a proper run in a position. He's asked to play in the 10. He's asked to play off of Christie, who's not a striker. He's asked to go and play deeper. He's asked to play as an 8. There's never any balance, or he's never given the opportunity to go into a balanced midfield and go and play where he wants to play. I actually personally think Ncham wants to go and take the ball from deeper, where we're seeing Brown kill a lot of the space right now and go dictate games from there. I'm not sure he'll ever develop into a midfielder who wants to break forward into the box and score 15 goals. And I think because he's good technically, that's what some Celtic fans expect. I think what we're more likely to see from him when he does eventually move on is he goes and plays more of a sort of deep line playmaker role and dictates games from deep, which he's never really had the opportunity to do in a Celtic shirt, sadly.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think a lot of it also stems down to that interview he had. As soon as there's people, and by the way, I'm one of them to an extent, but as soon as you hear a player wants to leave, a lot of people's minds are made up. And I do you know what? I completely accept that. I can understand that. So there are people who are never ever going to give Ncham a fair crack at the whip, and I think it's a shame. I think Neil Lennon really likes him. I think Neil Lennon doesn't quite know how to utilise him in the same team as Scott Brown. And that's all it comes down to. You take Scott Brown out of that equation, I think Aaron's absolutely right. I think you go Ncham, McGregor. I think Ncham's a lot deeper than, you know, people, the way he's being played currently. And that's a shame, because I do think he's a talented player, but, you know, for all the shit we've given Scott Brown this season, he was great against Hibs. Some terrific passing, some great passages of play. So we have to commend him for it. When he plays poorly, we'll criticise him. But when he plays well, you know, hats off.
Well, on that, Gal, you know, I think it was pretty unanimous, you know, with pretty much every panel that was on every type of podcast on the Cynic, whether it be the Agenda or the Midweek Bounce or whatever. Everybody was pretty unanimous in that Brown needs to come out of the team. He needs to come out of the team now. Did that performance, that one game, you know, one podcast doesn't make a Cynic? Does that, are you going to flip-flop and say that no, Brown's back in the team, he's back to his best and needs to play every game? You know, for me personally, I don't think so. I think you're right to give him the credit that he deserves. We have to do that. And say he had a good game. But for me, I think Turnbull coming on, I want to see more of Turnbull. I would rather Turnbull played ahead of him. I think Aaron's point about Ncham is probably spot on. He's always been hamstrung by the fact that Scott Brown's been in that team over him, playing in the position that he probably should be in and could excel at. So maybe he's not had a fair chance to really show that he is the Rolls Royce player that we all kind of believe he is. But Brown, great performance, but it's one performance.
The thing with Scott Brown is Scott Brown could now go on a run and play fantastically well for the next five games. But see that sixth game when he plays poorly, everyone will be on his back, and probably including us. So I do think there's a certain level of unfairness, kind of like what Chris said about Ncham. There are expectations of Scott Brown that if he doesn't meet them, then he's done. Get him to fuck. He's done. This season is going to be about, it's going to be the Scott Brown story. How does he finish out his Celtic career, essentially? So I think this question will be raised every single week, which I think is the standards that you are if you're the Celtic captain. You're going to be, every game should be scrutinised, frankly. However, we got to give him credit, because I thought he was great, and he was also playing a little bit further up the pitch. So maybe there are tweaks that could be made. I mean, we'll all agree that he can't play every fucking game, though. Let's agree on that, at least.
So, man, are you flip-flopping, wee man?
No, I think this is proof that you have to rotate Scott Brown. there was absolutely no need for him to be on the park against Riga, and that probably affected their fluidity in that game. I think the way that Hibs set up against us, he was far more rigid as a defensive midfielder against Hibs. It's been mentioned in a few places, I think you mentioned it earlier on, Aaron, that they didn't play the low block like most teams do against us, which probably gave him a bit more freedom to do that. Now, obviously it's difficult to know how teams are going to set up against you, but the bottom line is everybody's in agreement that he doesn't play every game. See, when you know that teams are going to do that against us, and that'll be teams that are more packed in and, you know, in the Riga, don't play him, or at least don't play him as much. But Sunday's proof that he will contribute. He will contribute for us. It's just you need to utilise him in different ways. It's not just now he's great again. That's not the case. But it's never been the case for me that you drop Scott Brown and never play him at all. You need to utilise him, and there's certain games where he doesn't give us anything. But then there's certain games like on Sunday where you can see that he's still got the quality to influence things for us.
Yeah. I think you're spot on, Samani, that Sunday's probably proved that the legs aren't gone. I think there's been a lot of that as he finished. So I think he's probably proven he's not finished, and there's still plenty of contribution to come from him. I think what's key and what we've all been calling for is pick the games where you need Scott Brown, and that's what we've not seen. Or even if you, Samani, you've said that maybe sometimes you don't know how teams are going to line up, but see after 50, 60 minutes when you've been frustrated coming up against a team and Scott Brown has been redundant in the game, just take him off then, and then let's think about it and change it. That's what we've not seen. We've seen it a couple of times where he comes off after 75, 80 minutes and it's already maybe too late, or the game's already by that point. But just use him a little bit more wisely. That's all we're asking. No one's going to call for who is probably a club legend, you know, to be chucked in the dustbin. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying use him efficiently. We've seen now that he's got something to offer, which I don't think anyone doubted. I think what we've been asking for is just use Scott Brown in the correct way, in the correct games, which is what Hibs at home probably is, which is what, you know, maybe an Aberdeen away where they might come and have a bit of a go at you, or a Rangers away when they might come and have a go at you, or away in Europe, or home games in Europe. There's certain games where he'll be effective. There's other games where there's absolutely no need for Scott Brown to be there, and there's players who are better suited to it.
We're kind of running out of time, but there's a couple of things I want to touch on before we finish. So we're not going to get a chance to talk about Ajeti, who again got another goal but got injured in the process and is going to be out for a couple of weeks. But, you know, he continues to score goals for us and prove how pivotal he is. And then, you know, man of the match, Ismaila Soro comes on and just dominates, just starts being like, "In Cham, who the fuck is this friend?" You know, just starts slapping people about Scott Brown, all that. He was amazing.
Can I jump in for a second? I actually do think Soro looks good. I mean,
he does, didn't he?
Tiny minutes he's getting, but just there's something about him that makes me think, I think he's got something that could be useful.
Yeah, I think he's got it.
He's got something that could be useful.
Yeah, I don't know. He's good.
You're giving him a wee bit of the Abuki. You need to be confident. I think he's going to be amazing. You know, I think he's going to be the greatest.
Who would you rather play, him or David Turnbull?
Fucking Soro every day of the week. Soro before Eddie. Anyways, talking about Eddie, am I right in saying that the transfer deadline is next Monday, the 5th? Is that right? Yes, you're all nodding your heads. Correct. That means, Lou, you're correct again. What do you predict for, obviously, the window will be shut the next time we record. You know, what do you expect from the deadline coming? We're obviously looking for a left back. I think that's quite obvious. We've been linked with this Ellison boy from Bristol City, who we've been linked with the past couple of windows, who I think is actually more of a left winger, but maybe we've kind of got the idea to convert him a bit like the boy from Charlton into a left wing back. Obviously, Eddie has not looked great recently. I think his demeanour is causing concern. He maybe played a wee bit better at the weekend, but I'm still quite worried about Eddie, to be honest with you. Predictions for who comes and who goes ahead of next week?
2 in.
Whoa.
Your left back / converted left midfielder, because it's Selick. A right-sided wide player.
Oh, hello.
Buck up. Hopefully. Don't say it. He's not even been linked, so many.
One out of the club from
Norway.
Christie, Ayer, and Cham, or Edward. One of those four.
Wow.
Will not be a Celtic player by this time next week.
Hopefully, Christie.
Agree.
can we just go and sign Alfie Doughty, please? Like, can we just get that done?
Why you say that? Have you seen him?
Yeah, I got my hands on a Y Scout login and I like what I see.
Very good. The thing we, you know, Aaron Hickey, we get 450 grand for that deal. If they're asking for just like a million, go buy him.
Well, can I take, did anyone see his announcement video that Bologna done?
the Messi thing.
Fucking worst thing I've ever seen.
What a ready.
He started last night, didn't he?
He played an innovation coming off.
He played well, to be fair.
Did they win 4-1, I think?
They did, yeah. It's Sinisa Mihailovic is your manager, though, so he's going to start wearing bloody fucking, you know, right wing things. I don't know. I thought I had something in my head, but I just totally shattered it. Sinisa Mihailovic is a fascist, so.
Okay. Brilliant. Thoughts on the transfer window, Chris? Or?
I think we'll get one in, and I think it'll be a left-sided, either left wing back or left back. I think one will go as well, and I don't think it'll be Ayer. So I think it's between Edward and Cham. Although we should say that on the agenda, Kieran Devlin, who writes for The Athletic, said that Celtic, he spoke to a source who said basically that Celtic are issuing a sort of Edwards not for sale stance, but that's until probably the magic numbers hit. Sorry.
Firstly, what is the number? And secondly, do we surely need a striker if Edward goes? Is it not too late to do this?
I think it is. I mean, Edward goes, then the reaction by the fans towards the board will be monumental.
But listen, we've got Afolabi, and I know he's at Dundee on loan, but we'll just get him back because we know how good he is. You know, cynic sources, Kieran Devlin. Listen, for me, I think Eddie is a wee bit disappointed that he's not going to get to go. I think he's been told that we're not going to sell him, and I think he's a wee bit disappointed, and that's maybe why we're seeing him look a bit deflated these days. And I don't think we'll let him go, but I think that's the way it's going to be until this window shuts. He's maybe going to have the international break to try and get over it, and then hopefully come back better and kind of more focused. I don't think Ayer's going to go. You know, for as much he's been championed by some in the social media world, if they wanted to buy him, you know what I mean? If they really wanted to buy him, they would have done so already. He's on a lot of shortlists, but you know,
I'm rarely on this podcast anymore, but Jesus Christ, Louis, do you have players that you should not comment on because you are so fucking biased? It's unbelievable. You speaking about IR. Jesus Christ.
You love this for your podcast.
Oh, it's money.
It's money in the bank, my friend.
That's fine.
You know,
that's fine. I'm just saying, because I'm not here often, sometimes when I'm hearing it, I get quite jarred.
It's the phrases that pay, you know.
Wee tadgers like you really do bring the people in. So keep being a wee tadger, Louis.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. I think it'll be in Cham it goes. I think he'll go, despite him being obviously the most technically gifted player since Diego Maradona. He's going to go. And that's that. Good luck to him. All the best.
The 90 minutes,
he's shite. I don't think we'll sign anybody, but I don't think we will. I think it's going to be kind of glorious failure. Lennon's going to come out, I'm happy with my squad. He's already said it once. I think he'll champion Greg Taylor, and we're going to be disappointed until January. That's my hot take.
At the start of the podcast when you were like, I think I've been too negative and maybe I need to turn that around. Now would be a good fucking time, to be fair. Jesus Christ.
I'm just being realistic.
You're not being realistic. You're being unrealistic, wee man.
How?
Do we have a Coors Light t-shirt? And he's expecting to be taken seriously. Cool, mate.
Listen, you're going to take a free T-shirt for the pub, so man, even you would. Anyway, before we finish, St Johnstone on Sunday, obviously the game has been moved because we were meant to be playing on the Friday, but obviously because of the game on Thursday, it's been moved to Sunday. This is the last game before another pointless international break, and then we come back after that. It's a Rangers game. Very important that we get the 3 points for this game and set ourselves up nicely for the visit of the dark side, the Ox, the dirty mob. They are currently second bottom of the league. They're not looking very good. 12 o'clock kickoff. It is away, but we've played well there recently in the past. Nothing to fear, right?
They're not playing within their XG, so you know they're not performing to their. They're actually joking aside. Looking at it, they're actually playing better than the results are showing. So they're a better team than their position shows. But you know we should be going to Perth and smashing. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think Callum Davidson's come in and tried to change them up a little bit, hasn't he? Trying to make them play more football and stuff and. I would hope that we would go there and be comfortable. I don't see anything from St Johnstone that makes me worry. And I think we've got a fairly decent record up there.
Thursday, Sarajevo 1, Celtic 3.
Yes.
Sunday, St Johnstone 0.
Yes.
Celtic 2.
Thankful. Happy with that. Good stuff.
I think we'll get beat 5-0. No, I'm not joking. Nah, it'll be easy. In the bag. Tens in the bag, lads. Anyway, this has been a fantastic episode. Christopher Gallagher, it's been great to have you back. You know, you used to be the guy that got all the abuse on the forums for being that fan.
Now it's you. Now it's you.
Now it's me, aye. But it's good to have you back. Maybe you'll take the heat off me this week.
Thank you, Louis. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you. Hopefully be back soon.
Hey, who knows? You just need to wait and see if you get an invite. Christopher Somani, you've been a ball bag as always, but pleasure to be in your company.
Love you, you wee tit.
I wish you could record that for me and send it to me so I can play it back to myself. It's so nice. And Aaron, you're obviously the man who's actually got a bit of knowledge here, which is good. You've been fabulous.
No, thanks, mate. And I'm not sure how much knowledge I actually have, but I'll keep on winging it until somebody calls me out.
A hell of a lot more than so many, anyway. We have been the Cynic Weekly, and we will speak to you down the road.